Romans. And thanks be to God, we're going to be back in this, really, each chapter. I pray it just continues to grip our hearts as we go along with the Spirit. And again, you talk about the manna for the day and where God has us, and to really rest and be thankful and joyful in that the Lord, again, in His goodness to us, He knows the encouragement we need. He knows the unction from Him that we need at all times. So, brothers and sisters, I'm confident this isn't just for just a few, it isn't just for me, because I'm telling you, this is just, again, put a spring of glory extra in my life, and I thank God for this, and how real this is pouring out in our lives at this time, that this word, this living word, praise God, is living in those that believe it. It's alive, and we're becoming, again, these epistles read of men, all of these different things that God is bringing forth, and the word does work powerfully, effectually in them that believe. Believe this, receive this, because, again, the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God is for today. Praise the Lord. It's for right now. So by His Spirit and in the name of Jesus, we're going on. But in the 16th chapter of Romans, last week, we went through the list of those all glorious names and the meaning in those names. And I do encourage you, if you missed it, go back and listen and get your Bibles out and search it. These are wonderful times, and the Lord is pouring out things. And I thank God that He is showing more light upon light if we will let Him do it. And I thank God for that in the ministering of the saints. But it's all Him. But the names of the ones that He names, the one thing about all of them, they are the lovers of Paul's gospel. They are the helpers of Paul's gospel. They are the ones that stood and, praise the Lord, were encouraged and encouraging Paul in the love of that gospel of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These were truly, in a sense, His cherubim yoke fellows, His dearly beloved brethren. And I believe this is such a great, glorious, glowing example of truly loving the head and the body the same, because they're one. It's Christ in me and it is Christ in you. And I thank God that as we were encouraged on Sunday to continue in my love, He said, continue in my love. As the Father loved me and as I'm loved of the Father and I love you, you continue in my love. That's the only love there is. That's the only love that we have, praise God, and continue in that. Be who you are and what He has given and made in us because of His life. And what precious fellowship we read and rejoiced in that Brother Paul had with all of these. And so do we, because we have fellowship with, again, this love of the truth by the Spirit and in the Spirit. And as we were pointing out last week, Paul most likely never met most of these ones that he mentioned. He never even met them face to face. But and what caught my heart again in the Lord encouraging us in that, that's just like us. Paul never met me. I never met Paul. But I know Paul's heart. And praise be to God, he knows mine, because it's that same heart of God. Again, all by God's grace. Hallelujah. This is why this is alive right now. We're not reading of some story long time back. This is the word of God to the sons of God, to Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I thank God that He's bringing us to that reality that really we are seated, hallelujah, with Him in the heavens in Christ, that we are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in Christ. But see, whether he knew them or not, in a sense, or met them or not, it was their testimony of faith in the truth and their love for the doctrine that brought them into the knowledge of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Christ in Paul, the hope of glory. And see, that's the knowledge of someone, brothers and sisters, which supersedes all knowing. Again, as I mentioned, I guess last week, when God took me out of town and was able to meet a couple saints that I had never met before, but their love of the truth and their love for Paul's gospel, I knew them. They knew me. We never missed a beat. It was just, Boom. There was no, well, hi, how do you do? It wasn't that at all. It was a hug, a brace, a kiss, hallelujah. And we were off and running in the scriptures and in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. And into the fellowship, praise God again, all because of his grace, right into strong meat. Praise the Lord. That's who we are in Christ. And thanking God for that encouragement. But see, he knew them in spirit. He knew them in the love of the truth that was in them. He knew them in eternity in Christ. Amen. See the encouragement, how we are to know one another? See, sometimes when the Lord has us in a meeting, we're challenged because our feeling, our eyes, starts to look at knowing somebody and other things. Now, I'm happy and excited as the Lord is magnified in your life and the after effects of going on with God. Amen? Whether it be work, whether it be school, whether it be relationships, all of those different things. And, praise the Lord, I'm even thankful for the failures too, as they're given over to God and the ones that rise up and run, that don't shy away from the love of God, knowing that if he be for me, who could be against me? What could be against me? I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. No matter what hit me, no matter what I decided I needed to do, my goodness, praise God in Jesus' name, in that one step, hallelujah, of faith toward the kingdom, I'm there. There's that fellowship, hallelujah. The prodigal, hallelujah, is with the Father. So it's wonderful, and we need to know these things and rejoice in this, and it'll make your walk sweeter as you just, again, launch out into the deep. Don't just kick around on the shore. Don't just get down into the ankles or into the loins. Get lost out there. Really, don't let them see you anymore. Go glory so deep in that precious grace. Where'd so-and-so go? Well, they're just gone way with Jesus. And you'll have a sweet time abiding, waiting for the Lord in that. But see, again, may this be our knowledge of one another, brothers and sisters. This is the encouragement here. And I'm talking about the knowledge of fervent love for the bridal truth. Loving and caring for one another with the love of Christ, period. As it says in John 15:12, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, love that's hit and miss, love that's predicated on any other thing isn't love. Well, first of all, it's not Christ's love, and Christ's love is the only love there is. That's why it says you could have faith to move mountains, you could know all the mysteries, you could give all you had to the poor, you could do this and this and this and this and this and this. But if you have not love, it profits nothing. So you can see that. Naturally speaking, people would say, oh, well, there was love that motivated all that. There was a natural love that motivated this or this or this. No, there wasn't. That was just self. That's just man's pride. Remember, natural humility, which there really isn't a thing, but sometimes we see it. That's about as much abomination to God as anything there is. Huh? Come on. That's why we're at Bible study. And, you know, we wiggle a little bit, but it's the truth. The only true humility there is of God. And we thank him for that. So after all of these, this list of these precious brothers and sisters, with Paul's heart so bursting of love, he now gives them the love unction. That's what we're going to get here, the love unction. It's love's response. It's, I can't help but do this, because it's the love of God that's alive and living in my life and also in that vessel or brother and sister's life that I'm confronted with. So what do I have to do? Verse 16 of Romans 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. My goodness, you got a double salute. See that? Isn't that wonderful? You got a double portion of salute. And you know what salute means? Let's never forget this. It's not to salute in a sense this way. It's not to salute to just acknowledge somebody or just invite them in. It's to draw to oneself. This salutation is to draw to oneself. Praise God. And how is this drawing to oneself? It's in the love of Christ. How does the Lord always draw you? Does he draw you like this? Does he shake your hand? Oh, come here, honey. I want to shake your hand. Here, high five me. Sometimes, you know, the Lord can encourage you in that. But the way the Lord always draws you, it's just whoo. Amen? You know it. Squeezes you so tight, you're crying for help. But that's how he draws you in. It's this love. It's this passion. And this holy kiss is encouraged to us five times in the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Five times, the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, you really need to take all the grace of God to give a holy kiss and to receive a holy kiss. We're going to talk about this for a little bit of time tonight. This holy kiss has been a great symbol of love through biblical times. I'm not saying it was to the level, because obviously we have a better thing. But even in the Old Testament, that love of God was present. And those kisses were common things between the lovers of the truth, whether it was between Jacob and his dad, or Laban and Jacob, or Joseph and his brothers, or Moses and Aaron, Naomi kissing Ruth and Oprah. And then you get into the New Testament. How about the father's kiss on the prodigal? Huh? That's a kiss of love, huh? How about there with Paul and the Ephesian elders there in Acts 20, after Paul so encourages them in the Word of God, and he finally says, in the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And he goes on and he's telling them all of this about the glorious gospel of the love glory of the Lord in their lives. And they know that this is the last time they're going to see Paul. And it says that they all fell upon his neck and they kissed him. But my favorite of all, I believe, is Song of Solomon 1:2. How about let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? But never forget the second part. For his love, there you go. See, that's the kiss. It's the kiss of love. This is what the holy kiss is. It's divine love. It's agape love. Because his love is better than wine. Hallelujah. And this is it. This is this intimacy. See, I mean, that's why people try to deny this. Oh, no, this is some God, you know, and he's kind of afar off and you can't really approach him. No, 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 no. This is the Lord that wants you to, that says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He wants your arms wrapped around him because he's already apprehended you. Amen? That we may apprehend that which has already apprehended us. That's going on with him. This is this, and we've heard it said, is a love match. All of these different things, whether it's the intimacy of truly the courtship of a table that's set for two. It's the Lord and how he is wooing us, because at this time, he's going to have a bride that's going to come out from this age. And there is no, or maybe no greater sign, and I should say a physical sign of the agape love in a meeting, than the holy kiss. It's the truth. We know in the Word of God it says that they knew they were disciples, they knew they were Christians because of their love one for another. Well, one big sign of love is how you interact with one another. Amen? If I walked into a place and I just saw people say, well, how you doing? And shaking hands and slapping on the back. Well, they like one another. I get greeted like that and I go in places that I maybe knew people that I did business with or friends. But somebody wouldn't perceive that as love. They accepted me. Friendly. Amen? Or they're all excited, you know, at the Bronco game, and, you know, they don't know the guy next to them, but they're high-fiving at touchdowns and doing all this. But that's not love. They might get excited about something. There might be a common interest. But now, wait a second here. What were they perceiving? What was there something that they couldn't deny because they knew of their love? Well, a lot of things, but one magnificent thing is because of a holy kiss, because of an embrace. Amen? Praise God. Think of these things. Think on these things. Brothers and sisters, never forget what the word worship truly means. Never forget that. The word worship means to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. If you ask the majority of Christians what worship means, it's to fall down on your knees and bow. Now, absolutely, there's a reverence, there's an awe of God in that, I understand. But if you want the cherubim worship, if you want that true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth, God help us to have that true meaning written in our lives, bursting out in our lives, that we draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. Praise God. And that, how wonderfully sweet, is the true worshiper. Because the true worshiper who the Father is searching for at this time, he's looking for those ones that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Think of that again. Now, what does the Spirit do? Well, he takes all the things of Christ and he makes them yours. We understand that. Shews them unto you. We understand that that's exactly the revelation of Genesis 24 in the bride for Isaac, as the servant is sent out to find that wife for the master. And again, what does he have? He's got everything of the master with him. It says he's got it all. And he's going to give it all to her, just like the Holy Spirit does with us, if we'll accept that I will go. Do we want that bridal calling in our life? Do we really want that? I will go. So I thank God that that's the truth. That's this whole message. That's everything he has. It's yours, honey. And in that, what this truth is truly in that Holy Ghost ministry, it's all love. So he takes this love and he sheds it abroad. It becomes a gusher in our lives. Amen? And that's the worshiper. And praise God, this is what this is getting at in this love and in this expression that comes abroad in our hearts. It's what Paul is encouraging here. I love you so much. I encourage you so much. Love one another with this love. And I thank God for it. We have to understand this, brothers and sisters, as the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. We could know all mysteries. We could know everything here in this brain. But without love, it has no power. None. Zip. But truth in love, as it talks about in Ephesians 4:15, truth in love, speaking truth in love. What happens when you speak or live truth in love? You grow up into him in all things. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Aren't you thankful that you know this? Aren't you thankful that, praise God, to know the love of Christ? This is it. This is why we must know this love, and not hear, but the knowledge that, again, it speaks of is the knowledge between a husband and wife. The wife hath made herself ready. She is receiving that love as a readied wife right now. Praise God. She rests in her husband. And in that, the husband, he trusts in her. That's the virtuous woman. Praise God. What a wonderful oneness in that love. But I thank him. Because it's all here, brothers and sisters. There's no denying it. As the Lord, again, brings out these lines upon line, upon line, upon line. And precept upon precept, and precept upon precept. And when this love really gets a hold of our lives, you can't help but greet with hugs. And not just a kiss, but truly a holy kiss. The love of God kiss. So wonderful. Now, what is a holy kiss? Is it really the act of the kiss? Is it? Is it where it's placed? Is it something that where it's given? Or is it the state of the heart? And is it the thankfulness of Christ in a life and a Christ in you as it's given? Oh, yes. Let him mind deep. Praise God. We know the answer. It's all about the state of the heart. Now, I will say, surely, most likely, this kiss was a kiss that was given upon the mouth. But if we're going that way too, then that kiss, most likely, was a kiss just between men and men and between women and women. So, I'm going to ask you something. You want to get bogged down in that? You want to get bogged down in form? Or do you want to go to the substance? Praise God. Amen? That's right. Can a holy kiss be on the cheek? I believe it can. Can a holy kiss be on the lips? Absolutely. Can it even be between not just men and men, but a man and a woman? You know it. Praise be to God. With the right heart, with the love of God, it's all there in Him. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, let's say someone does not have the liberty at this time, or doesn't have the liberty in a sense, or the unction to give that kiss or embrace. And you're one that is capable of a holy kiss. Well, let me tell you this. If you're capable of a holy kiss, then you know what? You're not going to make anything of it. Amen? Think about that now. When you just expect everybody to, in a sense, to just get right up and do something, because that's what they're to do, God help you. We want the Word of God completely manifest in its fullness in our lives, in everybody's life. Amen. But that's God's work. You preach the Word of God, He gives the increase. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's be patient. That's not meaning to be complacent. But I've seen these things hurt different ones. And God help us to be loving vessels. Someone doesn't want to go that way, pray for that life. But pray in encouragement that there's an experience in that precious love to enter into that. That there is a freedom. You hear me tease from time to time. You need to let the Lord, teach you how to hug. It looks so stiff in there, you know, and it looks like we're going to approach to wrestle. You know, you just don't do that. You just go with it. And this is what Paul's saying here as he says, salute. Draw to one another in this love. It's my love. Just let it go. And thank God how this comes about. And as we trust the Lord and as we pray fervently, He tells us the prayer of the righteous availeth much. So, you know what? I believe that it'll come. And it'll come from love, and it will never come from me pushing it. Or you. Praise the Lord. Now, before we stop this section, there's some good things to bring out here, many good things, and we're just, again, just looking on it in a glass darkly, in a sense. But anything that runs amok, you know, go look at and read in Corinthians, and you can see what happens when flesh gets in it. But this kind of stuff can be a tool of the enemy. And I'm talking about greeting one another in the flesh. Now, we need to have the mind of Christ. And we don't go in doubtful. We go in confident with the Lord. Just, again, yield to God. Let Him take it. And it will be wonderful how the glory just, again, is received and is drawn out of your life to others. But this is a common tool of the enemy. I've seen it drive people away from the truth. And it just does at times. But I do encourage you, brethren and sisters, be appropriate. Be polite. Be loving. Always prefer the other before self. That's the word of God. Always, always, always. And especially, you know, sometimes we can get loose with our speech. God help us that the love of God is always set in a watch before our mouth, period. But especially when we're in the meeting, that these are the temples of God. I don't want to defile the temple of God. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to do anything to stumble my brother or sister in Christ. Now that doesn't mean that I walk on eggshells either. We don't want to do that. But God give us wisdom. And there's so much yuck out there, so much hitting us all the time, that our speech, and brothers and sisters, we are all guilty of it. Yes, because it's our old man. And we need to leave the world and the lasciviousness. It's like we're constantly being hit with sexual things in this life and in this world. Advertisement, TV, everything. It's just gone crazy nuts. But leave that outside. Amen? Let's not make one another feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, if someone accidentally may say something, or maybe not, or whatever, but, you know, ye that are spiritual, restore. Go to them. Encourage. Don't strike them down either. This is something that the Word of God and so sweetly encourages to go to that brother or sister in the Lord. Let the Lord do it. Don't bring everybody and their dog into these things. Love one another. I believe the truth has caused us to grow up in the Lord. Amen. And I'm proud of Christ in you, brethren. I thank God for you. He graces my heart with you through the week. And I thank God. But let's be mature sons. Let's not give opportunity for silliness. Let's not give opportunity for these things that divide us. Those little foxes, they spoil it all. So in that, I will encourage to always go in love. And in love, there's wisdom. Amen? We don't want someone to feel uncomfortable. If you're coming to embrace somebody or something of that nature and you feel a withdrawal, don't give them the death hug. Just, you know, it's okay. Hey, you might even say, look, I didn't mean to offend. I love you. I love you in the Lord. And if someone just wants to shake a hand, love them in the Lord. Let the Lord extend even a holy kiss through a handshake. It's amazing what the love of God can do. I do encourage, and since we're on this, and yes, it gets a little specific, God brings us to these places. We don't need to do full body hugs. Don't do that. It's not wise. They can be misconstrued. I know sometimes, you know, some people are just big huggers, and that's okay. But let's hug appropriately, because you never know. It can be misconstrued in a lot of different ways. I'll speak for men. They can be pretty stupid. And I stand in the front of the line. But greeting and love, which includes the embrace and the kiss, God help us if it would ever leave this meeting. God help us if it wouldn't be here. God help my life if it was void of a holy kiss. Amen. Because this is Paul's gospel. Do you see that? I pray you do. Pray in your life for this love. Pray in our lives that this love is just exercised, that it's abounding, that I can't help but embrace my yoke fellow brother, sister in the Lord, to let them know how much I appreciate Jesus in you. how much I thank God for your run and love of the truth. How it encourages my life. How it causes me to run on. How God uses you abundantly and mightily in your families and in your down setting. And in these things that sometimes are very unfair, but by the grace of God you arise. I want to hug that. I want to kiss that. Because that's the truth, my Lord and Savior, kissing me with the kisses of his mouth. I pray we get it, because it's a beautiful thing. And it's a treasure. And it's part of the manifestation of the bridal ones. So pray for this meeting, pray for lives. And let's go on. 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. See, on the surface, we see this very clearly that, you know, frilly words and great speakers. That's our whole world at this time. Come on now, let's just be honest. It's all form and absolutely zero substance. Because it's the word of God. He said this is the way it would be. All men are liars. But for Christ in our life, brothers and sisters, that's why it's no surprise. If man's mouth is moving, he's lying. It didn't matter what man, what decade, century it is. It's the word of God. The only truth that will ever come out of you is when you're yielding to the Lord, when you're the Lord's vessel. Then you'll have truth come out of your life. And that's when we can be confident, not in man whose breath is in his nostril, but I can have confidence in Christ in you. And I can hope and abound in the faithfulness of God and how much he is for you and for my life. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. It's kind of like I was thinking about the frilly words and speeches. I always remember that Wendy's commercial, that little old lady that said, "Where's the beef?" You know, it's like you got some big sandwich there, and I always remember that little head coming up over the counter. "Where's the beef?" And that's so true. And what it is, brothers and sisters, and I pray we're this way, where's the strong meat? If you're not hearing strong meat, get out of there. Get away from it. You're not hearing Paul's gospel, run. You shouldn't be feeding on anything else. I need a strong body. I need more than milk in my natural body. Milk's great food and all that type of thing. But I got to have the full buffet. And the Lord has told us that we need the strong meat to truly grow up and trust in God that he does it this way. Now, obviously, when truth is not preached, you get away. You run away from it. Paul said many times, even in Galatians, only preach my gospel. Only preach the gospel that was given to me. Even if I don't preach this, or if an angel comes and preaches any other, let him be accursed. You preach this and this alone. Again, magnifying that it wasn't Paul. It was that precious mystery of Christ in the church that was given to him. The chief of sinner was just a chosen vessel to magnify the grace of God. That's why he chose the chief of sinner, not the second to the chief, or close to the chief of sinners, or a really rotten guy. He got number one. And he said, now I'm going to magnify my grace. So if the chief of the sinner can get it, even if number two is sitting in this church, you can get it too. Isn't that something? Let the word of God just ravish you. You want entertainment, listen to his word. Because it's the truth. Hallelujah. But you see, I believe it gets even a little bit more subtle here. See, it doesn't state in what we're reading here, one's preaching false doctrine. It doesn't really say that. But it says those that are preaching divisions, listen to this, and offenses contrary to the doctrine. And I do love this interpretation of this verse. It says, I appeal to you, brethren, to take note of those who create dissensions and difficulties in opposition to the doctrine which you have been taught. Avoid them. Get away from them. So think about that. Who create dissensions and difficulties? Dividers, brothers and sisters. We must be aware of dividers. And I'm talking about ones that can preach a lot of truth, but do it in a way and start to seed into it things that divide Christians. And the reason is the Word of God is brought out here. It's because of their own bellies. Now, that doesn't mean that they're trying to get rich out of this. It's because they're preaching from feeling. They're preaching what they feel. And feelings can be very strong. Because a lot of times feelings are things that you see. And you say, well, that's right. But it may not be right because my sight isn't by faith. Amen. So we always need to go back to the Word of God. And understand that we must be aware of ones that may be promoting hate, preaching even Paul's gospel. You say, well, wait a second. How could that happen? It happens. Oh, they preach the bride, a separate company, preaching all of these different things. But in that, here comes the judgment, and here comes the condemnation. I will tell you, that's not Paul's gospel. But what happens is, as it's saying here, those that create dissensions and difficulties, opposition to the doctrine. These are subtle things, brothers and sisters. See, the Word of God preaches one, Him. And beyond that, even in encouragement in the oneness, we are tightly fit and compacted. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are to love as Christ loved the church. And praise God for this bridal body. There is no spot or wrinkle in her. But yet preaching division is what some do, and do in abundance, again, for their own belly, for their own feeling, again, which is not faith. Preaching that way keeps people in fear. Preaching that way keeps people in hate. Preaching that way keeps them in guilt, in judgment. It gets the focus on the natural things. That's what feeling always does. It gets the focus on natural things instead of faith, which is spiritual. Ye that are spiritual, the Word of God says, restore to fellowship. Amen. It does not say that ye that are spiritual, tear down, ridicule. Bring out and let's walk them around. That's what the evil tried to do to the Word. I'm talking our Lord. God help us to realize these things. I thought of this in David's life as he went through some very trying times, some great failures. There were ones that wanted his hide, but he was God's man. And I thank the Lord again for the Lord's love. But one's caught up in hate. What this is encouraging, pray for them. Love them always. But a big, bold underline. But avoid them. Avoid. The reason is, brothers and sisters, is we become like our environment. Haters, gossipers, ones that cause discord. God may give you a time to encourage them, a moment to show them the more perfect way that the love of God would not be in this. But if they don't want to go that way, if they don't budge from that, get out of there. Get out of there. It's like someone that's drowning that doesn't want to, in a sense, get help. They just want to panic and flail. They'll sometimes pull that person down trying to save them and drown them too. This is exactly what the Lord is warning us. You keep praying and you continue on praying. Even if someone is just so bold to stay in hate, so bold to stay in judgment, you pray for that restoring of fellowship because you're praying that the Lord may be magnified in it. God help us if we ever stopped. But I will say it's one of the most highly contagious thing if you think you can hang around it and it won't ever affect you. Because it will. I know a lot of precious people that really had, in a sense, they thought some good intentions. But they listened to hate. They listened to judgment. They listened to that condemnation. And all it does, if you stay around it, it just continues to bind you. It dry you up. These are hard things. But better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. God help us to know. So he's leading us on. Hallelujah. Let's go verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now, when Paul starts out here, again commending these Roman saints, your obedience. This word, obedience, is found only in Paul's writings many times and just a few times in Peter's. It means complete submission. That's what he's saying, your complete submission, your complete surrendering to the Lord is come abroad unto all men. Do you remember how we started out in the first chapter of Romans as Paul commended them about how their faith was known throughout the world? Isn't that something about these saints? Their faith and their surrendering to the Lord were known worldwide, were known by other Christians, that this was a sincere group of saints. These were sincere lovers of Paul's gospel. How wonderful. How assuring, what a treasure to be famous for this. You think about what man thinks religious fame should be. And it wasn't because of their giving, it wasn't because of their deeds, it wasn't because of their missionary work, it wasn't because they built big cathedrals, but it was because of their faith and their submission. I believe I read of a sister that took the better part at Jesus' feet with that heart, as the others were ridiculing her for not doing a thing but worshiping. Exciting, isn't it? How he weaves this all along. Hallelujah, the same thing. Love, love, love. That's our God. Praise his name. But then, why out of the blue, as he says that first part, I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but he goes right in to say, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Can you see him saying this to you right now? I pray you can. Now you think about why. Well, I'll tell you, probably a lot of different thoughts, but the one the Lord so graced upon my heart this week was, think where these saints were. They were in Rome. Do you know who the Caesar was in Rome at this time? His name was Nero. Do you know that he was famous for many, many horrific things? But I think the thing that is probably the most disgusting, degenerate thing that there could ever be was that he took, after he killed his wife, he took a young boy, he had him castrated, and he married him. Probably somewhere between 10 and 12 years old. And he dressed him up as his empress. And wherever he went, he was presented as Nero's wife. Now, I really can't almost fathom anything more sick, more disgusting, unseemly. But that was Rome during that day. And on and on and on. And I believe that the Lord, again, in his divine grace to us, may we truly be aware, where are we today? Huh? Isn't that something? Oh, yes. Where are we today, huh? And as the Word of God says, it's even going to be worse. Hard to imagine. But go back and read Romans 1 all the way through there, and he'll give you a picture. And brothers and sisters, we're there. Remember, sometimes we just think of it here and here. You got to look at this whole world and how evil it is and how the evil of man has been waxing worse and worse. But notice this. God did not tell Paul to tell them, get out of there. It's awful. You got to leave and get over here in this country where there's only Christians. He didn't say that, did he? Mm-mm. Didn't say anything about leaving. He said everything about yielding. He said, I'm going to tell you this, honeys. You be wise concerning good. That word wise means to cultivate, plant. Get into the Word of God more. You got a lot of faith, get more. You got a lot of love, grow in it. Cultivate more of that good, praise God. And yet, simple. That means not being mixed with it. Don't mix yourself in that. As the Word of God says to us, flee every appearance of evil. We're in a time, and especially as parents, it is the most compromising, let's cut a deal time because of what's coming at us in this world. Everything's okay. The laws that are being passed, the things that, and again, this is not political, but all of the things that are coming down the pipeline that we're paying for, we better wake up. It's here. Now, I'm not going out to fight that because even the Word of God didn't tell these saints, well, you go fight against that. Go into that Roman system and just try to tear it down. He didn't tell them to leave and he didn't tell them to fight the system. He told them to yield more to God. Huh? Amen. You talk about taking the glory of God and turning the other cheek. And I'll tell you what, this so encourages my life, brothers and sisters, because, you know, we get hit pretty hard with this stuff. And it hurts your heart. We're living in a time in this world, it's here. And I'll tell you what, we're living in a time in this Colorado, it's here. And it is going in a way here, which is amazing to me, but yet God showing himself faithful is making this word alive in our lives. This is when it gets exciting, is when you can read into the Word of God and you can see your life in the Word of God living it. Because this is becoming a very, very vile state. Amen. And oftentimes, also, if it wasn't but for this, I would be so-and-so or so-and-there or whatever. No, but God. And this is where he has us. And I'm not running from anything. By the grace of God, I'm running toward the midst of the throne by his grace. Amen. All right, let's read 20 and then we'll close out here. I appreciate it. But this is good stuff. Isn't it just wonderful? Praise the Lord. I love him, and I know you love him. Hallelujah. 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, isn't that wonderful? It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. Read that again. Shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. It wasn't, in a sense, you know, God's great might, his muscles and things, but that is his might, is his peace. There's nothing more powerful than peace. Isn't that wonderful? And who is the Prince of Peace? Again, we're talking Jesus, aren't we? See, this is Jesus. Who is the who's the God of peace? Jesus. And you know, by the grace of God, do you know how beat up the enemy is tonight of what's going on right here? Because that peace that passes all understanding is keeping your heart, is being built in your life. By the grace of God, His word does not return void. It's strengthening you to have more confidence and rest and absolute, and truly getting you excited about the word of God. That's the power of the word. And that's the peace that it brings. See, the people of God, when you cease from your own works, you'll enter into the rest of God. You'll enter in right into that rest. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And I'll tell you what, that whacks the enemy every single time. But here, what encouragement beyond, what abounding in hope to us. As you can see here, honeys, it's almost over. Our day, hallelujah, as we heard so many times from Brother Hill, is about to begin. The prince of the power of this world or this air, sure, it's Satan at this time. We know that. God said it so. And soon he's going to be loosed in full force as a roaring lion. But that's only for a moment. And then cast away, burning forever. So, brethren, as he says here, look up. For your redemption draws nigh. Stay with our eyes by the grace of God affixed on the word. Eyes that are stayed on the things above, on Him. As we've been encouraged lately, by the grace of God, live, fight for, aim the mark for the unseen things. Live by faith, and you will not be moved. And praise be to God, it's all because, as He ends it there, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. Notice that. It's with you. Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.